FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's Kerry Lutz. The date is December 2nd, 2014. And that means it's time for Mickey Fulps' Major Market Monthly Review. Mickey, how are you?
I'm well, Kerry. And you?
Oh, doing great. Doing great. We're really psyched. And I must confess, I took a real quick penetrating look at these numbers. And hey, what do we talk about a few months? Volatility seems to be alive, well, and prospering.
Yeah, we've threatened at times to track the volatility index and mentioned that we perhaps should do that. I haven't looked at it for a month or so, but it's the same old story in the U.S. big boy markets. Record highs once again, both the Dow and the S&P 500 were up 2.5%. Here's an interesting thing to me. NASDAQ was up 3.5%, and it was pushing 4,800. And so we're only a couple of hundred points off of the all-time dot-com high back in, memory serves, early 2000.
Yeah, so, 2000.
When it went parabolic. So anyway, they keep cranking along. Probably a little bit of concern would be the small cap index, the Russell 2000, was flat over the month. You know, we always want to see the small caps kind of leading these bull markets, but the Russell 2000 was flat. The TSX big board was up 1% despite the falling commodities. The venture was off 3.5%, and that was expected. It closed the month at 742 on the index as tax loss season is in full swing right now. I would expect some weakness and for this index to hit some sort of low, plus or minus December 15th. I spent the wee hours of last night planning my tax losses for this year.
Yeah, well, it's hit a low since you and I have been talking, since 2012. I think started out, it's right back where it started from December. But since we've been doing these monthly wrap-ups, it's basically hit a low. And,
you mean the venture index?
Yeah, the venture. Yeah,
it's pushing. Yeah, it keeps going downhill. When we first started doing this, geez, it was up in the 1600s or something.
That's so right. Yeah.
Half its value, but it could challenge the all-time low for the venture index, which came in December of 2008 during the heart of the financial crisis. And that low, if memory serves, was 684. It just depends on what happens during tax loss season. You know, the Canadians can carry back 3 years, and you go back and that's 2011, and that was a bumper crop year for a junior resource stock.
Oh, yeah.
So we still could get hit here in the next couple of weeks.
So when's the buy here, Mickey, if you were buying, not giving advice?
Well, you've got to buy specific stocks. There's been a bifurcation in the juniors between the haves, which are not very many, maybe 10% of the business, and the have-nots, which is the other 90%. So the play here is to do your very strong research and due diligence and find companies with basic fundamentals that can survive this downturn and will come out on the other side, because bear markets don't last forever.
That's correct. Well, it reminds me of like the wine vintages. When it's a great year, you can buy the lesser brands. And when it's a bad year, you have to buy only the high quality chateaus. And that's kind of what these resource stocks are like. You got to really buy the quality ones that have got the cash and the staying power and also the ability to pick up the bargains that are out there,
Absolutely, Kerry.
So,
and then we go on to the emerging market index, and it was off about 1% over the month. And, you know, I think that's just reflecting the economic worries in China. There's no doubt that country's slowing down. Look at the price of iron ore if you don't think about that, if you don't believe that. The big winner, once again, the dollar index hit a five-year high at 88 and change, up 1.7% over the month. The euro's kind of not fallen in lockstep, but with the U.S. dollar rise, but it continues to shed off 0.5% at 1.25%. A big loser once again was the U.S. 10-year Treasury bonds, the interest rate. Yeah, the yield on those going down another 7% at 2.18%, despite the fact that quantitative easing is just about over. We would expect at some point a rise in interest rates, but don't ask me when. And finally, our favorite joke of the month is Bitcoin. It exactly gained back last month's loss of 16% at $376.
Hey, one day, Mickey, you will thank me for adding Bitcoin to our coverage. Just not quite yet.
Well, I thank you very much for the impetus to do that, because it's always worth a one-liner or even.
Hey, well, I'm almost even on my $150 investment. I want you to know.
Oh, I thought it was $50 investment.
Well, that's what it went down to.
Did you? Oh, I see. Okay. Now I understand.
I think I spent $422 when I bought it from Coinbase, just experimenting, kind of like the kiddies do when they're young. And, you know, you got to stay current in this business, Mickey, or, you know, you wind up out there somewhere, you know, in Never Never Land. And we don't want that. So we go to our metals, which didn't look so bad for the month until you got to the last day of the month, right?
Well, it was just so volatile over the month. You know, it's gold has gone during the month. I think it was as high as perhaps, it was certainly over 1,200. Let me check your 30-day chart. At the end of the month, it hit 1,200, but it was as low as 1,140. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's yesterday, although it was outside of our coverage at December 1st, was quite the volatile day. But it's hanging in there, I guess. Close the month at 1183 for plus 2%. Silver was flat over the month, but closed it at less than $16. Platinum gave up 2%. It actually hit a multi-year low intra-month. And then palladium, of course, still bucks the trend, up 3%. And that simply has to do with the strength of the U.S. and Chinese auto industries and demand for catalytic converters.
Look at the ratios, huh?
Yeah, the gold-silver ratio is just nudging my magic number. Close the month at 74. My magic number is above 75 someplace. I'm not sure which. Mm-hmm. To pull the string and buy some silver.
Yeah, there are people who use that ratio and adjust their, you know, they sell gold when it gets to that point and buy silver. Then when it comes down, they sell silver and buy gold and do quite well at it. But
well, that's certainly a play. For me, it becomes an idea of when silver gets so undervalued with respect to gold with these high ratios, I buy silver and add to the hoard at some point, and then I will convert that silver to gold when the ratio is favorable to gold. So yeah. I don't really trade back and forth, but sure. What I add to my hoardings at times by buying silver rather than gold. You know, some of the other ratios are almost historic. The platinum-palladium ratio went below 1.5. I think, you know, I would have to go back and look at my data for the last, 40 years since precious metals were basically floated on world exchanges. But if memory serves, the only time we would have seen a ratio like that was when GM's tried to Ford,
yeah.
Palladium. Mm-hmm. Was it Ford?
I think it was Ford.
Yeah, I think you're right. Ford tried to hoard palladium when the Russians cut off supplies in around 2000, 2001, if memory serves. So that's out of whack, let's say. And the other thing that's out of whack right now, which we haven't seen for a while, now in the while was when gold was pushing 1900 an ounce. But it takes 18 barrels of oil to buy an ounce of gold right now. And that's way out of whack. And we would expect at some point some correction on that.
And what about our platinum to gold ratio? That's getting to one. And we know that that never lasts, right?
Yeah, well, we'll see. Platinum, certainly, it's a bit of a puzzler right now with South African production, cost of production, well over the current cost or current price. You know, last year, the average platinum cost per ounce of production all in South Africa was 1600 an ounce. So at some point, platinum's got to rally here. And then finally, we go to our industrial metal, copper. It went below $3 for the first time in quite a while. And it actually looks like it may stay there. The 3 and 6 month contracts are both in pretty strong backwardation right now. You know, when it fell below $3 at the end of last week, during a short week in the U.S., but it coincided with the big drop in oil, another big drop in oil, and the pundits were saying, well, it's in sympathetic drop with oil, which. It may be in the short term with the traders and the speculators in the futures and options market, but in the longer term, this oil slump, these cheaper oil prices, are really positive for the mining industry and especially the copper industry, where energy is the biggest input. So, based on that, I would say the outlook for a stronger copper price, although is probably negative in the short term, it may stay below $3 for a while. I would say that's positive in the longer term.
Well, we'll see if Dr. Copper has lost his touch or not, right?
Well, he can lose it on occasion temporarily, but he still has that PhD in economics.
Oh, yeah. So energy, and there was really the big story of the month, right?
Oh, yeah. It was just the black gold crash continues. WTI and Brent both off 17% over the month, with WTI closing at $66, Brent at 70. Percent. These are around 40% losses in the price of oil since the end of July, and that's just quite surprising to me. What has happened? You know, we have the U.S. shale oil revolution, and we've had a lot of production come on, and world demand is down. So the supply demand fundamentals have come in, and the Saudis and to a lesser extent the United Arab Emirates, but you know, the Saudis pretty much can control the price of world oil, and they basically thumbed their noses at the rest of the world and refused to cut production. And they've thumbed their noses, I think, at especially countries like Russia and Venezuela and Iran. And let's keep in mind that they are Sunnis, and Iran are Shias, and they're not a lot alike between those sects of Islam, to say the least. But they basically said, screw the rest of the world, screw the U.S. shale oil revolution, screw the Shias, especially Iran, and the radical Sunnis, ISIS. You know, ISIS is Sunni, but they are radicals, and UAE and Saudis are part of the coalition that have denounced the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. And so with this grab of oil fields in Syria and northern Iraq, I think that has something to do with this too.
Yeah. So
we'll see how this whole energy thing plays out, but it's quite interesting times we live in here if you're in the oil patch.
Oh, yeah. You know, what also is interesting is that usually low prices are going to lower the supply. You know, the best cure for low prices is low prices, that old cliche. Yep. In this case, initially, it's actually going to increase the supply because the Venezuelas, the Irans, the Iraqs, and Russia too.
Don't forget the Russians.
and Russia too.
Absolutely.
They're going to increase production to try to make up for the price drop. So effectively, it's going to have the opposite effect that everyone's expecting. Prices will go down lower because production will go up in this effort to replace lost revenues by those marginal players. And
absolutely,
you know, then we'll see a shakeout. And then the prices, I believe, 6 months down the road, will go back to the level that we've seen them for, God, you know, since we've been doing it. They've been in that $90 to $105 range since we started doing this.
But let's say $85 to $100. I would probably spread that range out of it because, you know, the world demand is off. And until that changes, this is going to be tough for the oil producers and certainly for the Russians. You know, we just did a piece which we will forward to you for posting on the price of gold versus the value of gold, and posted a bunch of charts in other world currencies than the U.S. dollar for the price of gold, and it's pretty eye-opening. The Russian ruble has the price of gold has increased 30% since mid-July in Russian rubles. So this whole thing about the weakness in gold and on and on and on, one thing it's done is it's created a very strong physical market, not only in China and India, but amongst central banks, some of the aforementioned central banks who are fleeing to gold as quickly as they can, and also created physical demand in the U.S. too. So, you know, I'm fairly positive in the idea that that the precious metals, especially gold, are oversold, and I'm looking at a rally at some point.
Yeah, I think you're correct on that score, and hey, all is not doom and gloom, though, in energy. Henry Hub, not terrible, down a little bit, but showing the locality of those markets for nat gas, right?
Well, it is. You know, it closed down 1% for the month at a little less than $4. You know, it's this time of year. The natural gas market in North America is so dependent on the weather. So, you know, and there's lots of gaming in the futures market in natural gas as people pay attention to the weather, man. You know, it doesn't take many lake effect snows in Buffalo and that part of the world to create havoc in the natural gas market. So, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah,
to see a miserable winter in the northeast tier of North America.
Yeah, well, we keep getting these polar vortexes, so that could definitely do something. And then we get to your personal favorite there, uranium.
Well, it was certainly the big winner over the month. Again, it was, let's see, up 7%, hit. Closed the month at $39 on the spot price, but about 10 days ago it was $44. So it did this little parabolic rise and fall. But let's keep in mind it started this exponential rise at $28, and as in all markets that are oversold or out of whack, you know, when they, even when they go parabolic, if you're in a bull market, they will close that parabolic fall much higher than they started. So it backed off to $39 and it's going to consolidate, and some of the speculators will take some profits here, and the market will come back into balance, at least the spot market. But here's the most bullish thing that I know of that's happened in the uranium business for quite some time, and that's the long-term contract went up back up to $49. So, you know, we've been in this spot price increase for several months now, but finally the long-term contract price, which is about 80% of the traded uranium in the world, is now up to $49. And you know, you'll find that the U.S. ISR producers, if they get that magic $50 number, they can make really good money at that, you know, with all-in costs somewhere maybe a little bit above $35 a pound. So this is bullish for uranium market.
Oh, yeah. You know, it hit its bottom. We watched it, and you more or less called it. And here we are. It's now going back up, and now a lot of it's going to depend upon Japan too, though, isn't it?
Well, it is, and that's such a catalyst for the market. You know, the final push from above $40 when it was on the uptick. You know, there came some news at the end of one week, maybe on a Thursday evening or even Friday morning, that there were a couple of reactors that had then gotten not only national approval, but regional and local approval for restart. Now, we don't expect that to happen in some time in the first half of 2015, but that's what initially boosted it up that final leg, and it's pulled back a bit, but that's what we always want to see in bear market or in bull markets.
All right, so summing it all up, any thoughts for the coming month where the markets are heading here, Mickey?
Well, I'm watching the WTI to Henry Hub ratio at 16-1. That's it's way off from the energy input, but what we'd like to see is a rise in oil prices. Let's look back at 2008 during the global economic crisis, and it may have happened even into 2009, but oil hit $26 a barrel and it didn't stay there very long. So, you know, how low will it go? Well, we don't really know yet, but we'll see a bounce into an economic paradigm where supply demand fundamentals are met.
Yep. Agreed. So it's going to be interesting. It's been getting interesting. I mean, for months, we're just talking about low volatility, nothing really happening. Oil stayed the same. Gold and silver going down a little. Major stock markets going up. That part's continued. But the commodities have like really taken a hit. And you got to figure they're going to bounce back at some point, because we still are, by all accounts, in a commodity bull market for the next however many years, right?
Well, I think so. You know, I remain a secular bull in commodities. But this is a medium to longer term outlook, and we shall see. I'm looking at a volatility index right now. It's still pretty low, carry at 13. So
yeah, well, we will see. Anyway, to find Mickey, mercenarygeologist.com and a number of other sites, why don't you share those with us, Mickey?
At Mercenary Geos, the Twitter feed, we are pushing 40,000 Twitter followers. We have so much fun with that. I encourage people to come and look. We do a lot of science, and we do markets, and we keep an eye on the cops and make sure they're not beating up people and shooting them in the back. And so take a look at that. And finally, this interview will be on our interactive or our 24/7 FM radio station at mercenarygeologist.fm.
All right. And you can always find it at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Don't forget, sign up for our free newsletter. Check out the site. We have the latest info from all over, from websites around the globe, alternative financial, even some mainstream when it's not just pure blatant propaganda, something you want to check out, as tens of thousands of you do every month. Mickey, till next month, we will talk to you then.
All right, look forward to it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Every week, the show is growing. Would you like to be a part of it? Then go to clubfsn.com and help support us with $1, $2, $5, or $10 a month and get a host of premium content with newsletters dropped into your mailbox, free books, private audio clips, webinars, and much more. Then join clubfsn.com. If you want to get ahead of the trend and ensure your family's financial security before it's too late, go to clubfsn.com and sign up.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.